Morning Focus Church. Let's take the next few moments to focus on God's word for us today. Well, as Pastor Ryan said, we're in week 4 of our series titled Thanksgiving. And I know you've heard Pastor Ryan talk about giving for the last 3 weeks, and I am so excited that I get to do it again. Week 4 about giving talks about generosity, and I am thrilled that I get to be the one to speak on this. I love giving. In fact, Thanksgiving is all about the time that we get to give to our friends and our family, and this is one of my favorite holidays. My family's actually already in town. I'm super excited that they get to come and spend Thanksgiving with us, but I love the aspect of giving, and one of our main focuses here at Focus Church is grateful people give generously. We can't outgive God. And that's absolutely true. So about 3 weeks ago, Pastor Ryan talked about giving away control. God owns everything, and we're just the managers. 2 weeks ago, he spoke on equations that giving my tithe was my first and my best. It makes me vulnerable, and it shows that I trust God with all of my resources. Last week, we learned that tithing isn't an advanced skill. It's just obedience. Well, today, we're going to talk about what does it look like to be a generous giver. If you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus for your life, I've got good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And at the end of this message, we'll give you the opportunity to receive that hope. Today, I wanted to start our message in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So if you have your Bible, if you have your app on your phone, pull it up, bring it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I wanted to talk just a little bit about what's happening in 2 Corinthians. Paul, one of the missionaries that was in the Bible, he's talking to the church of Corinth. So he's writing to them, and he's asking them and telling them all the things that they need to do as a church body. And the Corinth church was a generous church, and they had been doing the right thing about a lot of things. And he was telling them, hey, I'm saying you're doing awesome. Continue to do this. Do the things that I'm asking you to do. And he was writing this particular part of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 about, hey, I need you all, the church of Corinth, to take up an offering because the people in Jerusalem have a need. And it's thought that that need was probably there was a famine going on in Jerusalem at that time, and the people there needed food and they needed things. And so the church of Corinth was going to take up that offering and send it away to the church of Jerusalem. Now, the 10% that Pastor Ryan talked about, that's something that we just do and we just give. But what Paul's talking about here is going above and beyond that 10% because they knew that there were some people in need. That 10% was going to take care of the church in Corinth, but the 11% was going to go to the needy in Jerusalem. I kind of like to think about it like this a little bit. At my house, we have this rule. We have 5 kids, Ryan and I do. And when you eat at my house, you might have a plate just like this. And if you're eating and you get finished, I don't care if it's a snack time, if it's just you are eating dinner with us, when you're done with this plate, you're gonna take it to the sink, you're gonna rinse it off, you're not just gonna leave food on it because I'm kind of OCD and I like it to be clean. So you're gonna scrub the plate off, and then you're gonna take that plate that you washed off in the left side sink and put it in the right side sink and leave it there. And yes, I'm that picky of a mom. So that's just obedience in my house. I expect you to do that. Now, if you don't do that, you're probably going to get in trouble at our house because that's what I expect. So when I come into my kitchen often, there are dishes in the right-hand sink clean. Every once in a while, maybe not due to my children, there is something in the left-hand sink not clean. We won't speak about that. But on the right-hand side, there's those clean dishes. And I'm going to be the mom. I'm taking them. I'm going to load the dishwasher. My sister's here today, and she would tell you Shalee's going to load the dishwasher because she's not going to do it. Things have to be specific in there. She's like, Shalee, I can't do it like you do it. Just do it for us. And my kids know that too, except for every once in a while, my kids, well, maybe even more than every once in a while, my kids are generous. And they know it's not expected of them to load the dishwasher. But I might ask them, or they might just see the dishes full in the sink, and they put them into the dishwasher. That's just generosity. That's them going to the 11%. It's something more than is expected of them, more than what I've asked them to do, and it's really cool that I have some generous kids in that way. So sometimes we're generous with our money. Sometimes we're generous with our time, and my kids, they might spend the extra time. Make mom happy today. Let's put the dishes in the dishwasher. So I understand that generous giving starts at 11%. So the 10% is just done. The 11% is where we get generous. And this is where we're at in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. He's talking about this generous living. He says, remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. So you could plant just the $1. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. So you could plant $5. Now, I have a few examples here. This is some grass seed. This is a little bit of grass seed right here. And I could plant this probably in a tiny patch in my house, like a little patch that would say, hey, you need to sprinkle some seeds there. It will help some grass grow, maybe where it died in a spot and I need to help it grow. I could plant a little bit of seed and I'm going to get a little bit of grass. Or I could go to the store and be like, my whole half side of my yard is dead because the sun's not shining over there and I need a bigger bag, and so I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to plant all of these seed. It says sunny grass seed. So where that grass has died, I can plant the seed and I might be able to take care of a whole side of my yard. I don't really know. I don't know a whole lot about grass seed, but something like that's going to happen. So I could plant that much. Or I could be like a farmer and I could plant more seeds. In fact, I was watching some videos this week on Facebook and I saw a farmer. Well, he's not really a farmer, but he kind of does it on the side. A farmer who's in our church named Brad. He actually is in our church and he farms. Not for a living. He does it on the side as an extra little income. And so I was watching a video and he was planting some seeds. And I want you to watch and see, and we'll talk about it after.
Hey, we're in the field today with Jed. Jed, what are we doing today?
Planting seeds.
Planting seeds, yep, you can see them behind us. And Jed, can you tell me how many seeds we're planting right now? Can you look at the monitor and tell me?
300.
No, 31,000.
31,010.
Yep, so we're planting about 31,000, and all the different rows for the 12 rows are blinking now that we got that working. And then we're putting fertilizer on too, right? Uh-huh. And do we dig up and find a seed? Yep, it was about 2 inches deep. Okay, is it going to be a good year? Hopefully, right?
Uh-huh.
We're going to watch these seeds and see how they grow so we can come back and harvest them this fall with the combine, right?
So he's planting seeds with his son, Jed. And I want to stop right there for just a second because Brad has Jed in the tractor with him and he's teaching Jed about planting. I don't ever want to gloss over how important it is for us to teach our kids about planting. And so he's planting with Jed. He's teaching him that they're planting 31,000 seeds. It's a little more than this bag, maybe a lot more. And he's planting those seeds. He's putting them in the ground. He knows exactly how far they're going. Brad has learned that from his father, who taught him how to plant seeds and where they should go and how far they should go. I've watched another video with Brad in the combine with his son, Jonah. He was teaching him how. And it's like that with us. God teaches us how to plant seeds, when to plant them, where to plant them, when we listen and we know him, and then we can plant seeds just like he was planting. And after he planted those seeds, it would be nice if Brad could just plant those seeds and then walk away from it. But sometimes when we plant seeds, we also have to help with the harvest. And that's what Brad's doing later. Let's watch and see what his harvest looks like.
Starting to wind down harvest. In the last field, but probably don't have enough truck space for tonight to finish, but we'll be close. Been a beautiful harvest, beautiful year. God has blessed us.
I love what Brad said at the end of that video. You see, he didn't know I was going to use it. That was last year's harvest. He didn't know I was going to use that video today, but he said, God has really blessed us. You see, he planted the seeds, and then he's harvesting out what he had planted. There wasn't enough room in his trucks for all that he had planted. Brad is working late at night. He's not just sitting at home doing nothing. He's working so that he can harvest and plant and get seeds to grow. Now, I happen to know that Brad is a very generous man. In fact, when one of my kids walked up to him and said, hey, Brad, I'm doing this 1 in 1,000. Will you sponsor me? He has 5 children of his own, but he said, absolutely, I'll sponsor you. And he sponsored one of my kids to do their 1 in 1,000. He works hard at night. He does that harvest not just so that his family can get fed, but so that he can give to others. And that's so super awesome. Well, if we read on in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, you must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Well, Ryan and I were at home talking. We're talking about generosity and what it means. We often talk about the messages we're preaching. And Ryan said, you know, I learned a lot about generosity from your mom and dad. And I said, really? He said, yeah. And I thought, oh, yeah. I think that I have just lived around generosity for so long that it's second nature in our family. My parents were just generous people. I'm going to brag. My mom's here this morning. I'm bragging on her a little bit. And my dad, if they see a need, they meet it. Like, literally, I can tell you time and times again how someone's walked up and they needed something, and we didn't always have a lot. In fact, often we did not. My dad was a pastor, and so we didn't just have oodles of money coming out of all places. We just had what we needed, but when my parents saw a need, they gave to it. And so they would always just give. And so for me, it was second nature. And Ryan said, hey, I watched your dad after we got married. He's like, I'm watching your dad, and when a need arises, it's not that he just has tons of money, he just gives. But all your needs are always met. And it was really fun to watch Ryan get to see that and us talk about it and say, hey, it's really cool when people are generous, God just takes care of them. So how did the parents always know what to give? How do you know that seed needed to be planted 2 inches down? How do we know what we're supposed to give? Well, my dad and my mom knew God. And they talked to God daily. And they had a relationship with him. So when a need arose, they didn't have to take 4 days to figure out if they needed to meet that need. They heard from God, they obeyed God, and they shortened the distance between when they did that. So when they heard from God, when a need arose, they would know, oh, this is something that we're supposed to do. So they weren't reluctantly giving. They weren't responding to pressure. They were just hearing for God and being cheerful givers. So God loves a cheerful giver. And my parents, they didn't complain about giving. They didn't say, oh, man, we don't have enough money, and God's asking us to do this again. Can you believe it? No, they just gave. In fact, there was a time my dad had planted a church, and when you're planting a church, you're planting a lot. You're not harvesting a lot yet. In fact, my parents were often just paying the bills of the church and taking care of it. They were working hard at other things so that they could take care of the church body. And one time, it was almost Christmas time. It's kind of this holiday season. And they were wanting to go home for Christmas. All of our family lived in Wichita, Kansas. My parents were planting a church in Texas. So me and my sister were there. We're working with them. We needed to drive from Port Arthur, Texas, which is south of Houston, to Wichita. It's a little ways. You need some gas money for it. And my dad was getting ready to pay the bills of the church. And he knew the church didn't quite have enough. And he knew that God said, hey, just pay the bills and I'll take care of the rest. So he pays the bills of the church. Now, we could have not gone home for Christmas. We could have just stayed there. And my dad could have been like, well, I gave all my money to church, and that's it, and now we're done. But my dad knew that God was faithful. And so when he gave that money to the church and he took care of the bills, when he walked out the door, there was a $100 bill on the ground. There was no one around, no one there. But $100 at that time could drive you from Port Arthur, Texas to Wichita, Kansas. I know it can't now, but then it would. And he's like, I knew we would get home, and his parents were generous, and they would help out, and they would have enough money to get back, and it wouldn't be a big deal. They would get presents for Christmas, and it would be awesome, and God would take care of them. So sometimes God is asking us to do something that gets us a little out of our comfort zone, and if we will do it cheerfully and willingly, then he will just provide the rest. In fact, if you read on in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, we're going to go back a little bit. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives generously. This is what it says after that, when you give generously and cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. His scripture never lies. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and they give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides the seeds for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. When I think about Brad's video, he could have planted this little bit of seed, just a tiny bit, and he would have been able to feed his family, not grass seed, but you know what I mean. And then he would be able to feed his family. He could have thought, well, you know, I can feed my family with that one, but I'll do this one and I can pay my house bills. Because this is just a side job for Brad, because he has a full-time job, but instead he's harvesting, planting seeds, getting it so that he can give and be generous. And you know what? Because he is generous with what he has, God blesses his harvest and there's not enough room in the trucks. He has more than he needs so that he can give to others. God brings increase so that we can increase our generosity. Not so that I can get a bigger car, not so that I can get a bigger house, not so that I can, you know, go on 20,000 vacations. He gives it so that I can share. I have what I need so that I can share. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says, give freely and become more wealthy. Give and become more wealthy? Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. What's it look like to give? It looks like my parents, who didn't have a whole lot, who were pastors, going on Thanksgiving Day and feeding the hungry, when at our house I knew our cupboards barely had anything, but they still gave. It looks like saying, hey, 10% I'm just giving to God, but there's someone in need, and if I just give $1, I'm being generous. I need to do that. God's called me to do that dollar bill. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to give above and beyond. Generosity looks like helping people when you see a need. It looks like going over and helping with a tire when you just don't feel like it. Generosity means, hey, I don't want to help somebody move. I'm busy in my own life, but I'm generous, and I help those who need it. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to go out of my way. If we look down in Corinthians, if we go down to verse 11, it says, and when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So if we think about that just for a second, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. He's saying, hey, I'm going to take those gifts to those who need them, the people in Jerusalem. And so if we go on in the verse, it says, two good things will result from the ministry of giving. When you give, two things happen. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. So when we give, often a physical need will be met, and then a spiritual need will be met, because they'll thank God and they'll realize, hey, what he gives, what God gives me, I can be thankful and I can know him more. It's awesome that when we give, so much can happen. You see, I went to a conference not very long ago about a thing called Project Rescue. And just like Paul was writing to that church in Corinth, I felt like God was saying, hey, here's a letter for the church of Focus. There's a need. There are people who have a physical need and a spiritual need, and we need to meet that need. I can't preach on being generous and not give us the opportunity to be generous. So I want to show you a project that's happening all around the world. And it's called Project Rescue, and we're going to watch a video. It's talking about women and girls that they rescue out of sex trafficking so that they can have a life, their physical needs can be met, and they can know God. So let's watch this video, and we'll talk about it after.
We believe in a world free from sexual slavery, where courageous women and children can live in freedom as fully empowered daughters and sons of God.
But right now, there are an estimated 5 million people in sexual slavery, most of which are women and girls who have been deprived of their ability to live life with dignity and freedom. We are on a mission to find them, rescue them, and walk with them on their journey to full restoration, body, mind, and spirit.
Project Rescue started 25 years ago in 1997 in Southern Asia, with 37 little girls who've been rescued from the red light district. Today, God has grown our small beginnings and multiplied our efforts as we partner with local leaders across cities, countries, continents in Asia, Africa, and Europe.
With the help of devoted partners around the world, we serve the needs of women and children through several initiatives like awareness and prevention programs, direct intervention, safe homes, education, trauma counseling, vocational training, and so much more.
We are committed to the long haul. Restoration is not a one-step process. It is a journey of walking shoulder to shoulder with survivors of sexual exploitation as they heal and find full restoration and a new hope-filled future.
With God's grace and help, we've been able to impact tens of thousands of women, children, and men every single year through our many initiatives. This is why we know it's possible. We're seeing God move in incredible ways that we never thought possible. We're committed to the journey ahead.
Our mission is clear: to see a world where all are free from sexual exploitation and living as fully empowered sons and daughters of God.
As I learned about Project Rescue and how they're taking women out of sex trafficking, over the last few weeks, I've been hearing again and again about how foster care affects sex trafficking. And here at Focus Church, we have been called to impact foster care. Here in America, the large majority of children who are people who are sex trafficked are out of the foster care system. In fact, we were talking to a friend of ours, they're a counselor in Texas, and they work with women who have come out of sex trafficking, counseling them. 100% of them were in the foster care system. So often foster care and sex trafficking are linked. In those other countries, orphans, people who have no families are taken from those countries and trafficked because they do not have people who can support them. The people who are in sex trafficking have no resources, they are poor, and this is the way that they've learned to make money. And so they're helping, Project Rescue is helping them come out of that, giving them the skills they need in order to come out of sex trafficking and have a life on their own. So if we look at, just for a second, about what Project Rescue cost, I wanna just show us, because sometimes we're like, God, how much do you want me to give? And God kind of gives us some numbers here. It says, for $30, you can provide a welcome home essentials for someone who's in need. That's saying, hey, we're gonna provide bedding for them, the things that they need, shampoo, toothpaste, the things that they need in order to just get out of that lifestyle. Here's basically the bag that we need for you to be able to live in our home and help you. For $100 a month, you can help a child who's been taken out of sex trafficking. Many of the women that come out of it have many children and they need to be living in the home with them. And so it costs about $100 a month to take care of a child. For $250 a month, you can take care of a woman aftercare. That's someone who's come out of sex trafficking and now they're trying to help them begin a new life and live for a month. For $1,250, you can provide 1 year of college for a woman. The reason why they're putting them through college is so that they can learn new skills to have something to do besides being able to be sex trafficked. A lot of them don't have the education that they need in order to come out of that. For $15,000, you can open a vocational training center. So that's for a year, you can do that. Take care of vocational training center. That's where they teach women to sew, make products. They on the Project Rescue site, you can see where they're selling things the women have made so that they can help themselves live. For $100,000, that's what it costs in order to launch an aftercare home, one of those houses that they can build and redo. In fact, I went to a conference and they were getting ready to build the Oasis Center in India. It was a $100,000 project that they are going to just open up a home to allow more women to be able to come. So just like Paul wrote to the church of Corinth and said, hey, there's a need, I'm saying to you, there's a need. Project Rescue needs our funds in order to open this house in the Oasis in India. And we would love for you guys to pick one of those amounts and say, hey, what can I do in order to help people who have a both physical and spiritual need? I'm going to invite Pastor Ryan up, and he's going to tell us how we can do this offering today and what you can do to help.
Thank you, Pastor Shalee. It's exciting to get to hear about generosity and how God can do something with what we have. And to even begin thinking about what we can do to make a difference, we've got to recognize and remember the very first thing we heard about giving. And that is recognizing that God owns everything and we're just the managers of it. So even when we give above the 10% that God asks us to give back, and that's the tithe or first and best, the generosity that starts at 11% is still not really us saying, hey, God, I'll give you something. It's actually responding to God prompting us to say, hey, I want to reassign my assets. I want to move them around to a different spot. And we get to be part of the delivery system to help provide for a need. But we heard another equation today that says that if we will do this, if we will plant seeds, if we will be generous, that God will provide everything we need. Project Rescue is a cause that is making a big impact. And I can just imagine that there's not a person in this room or watching online who would say, wow, this doesn't just pull on the heartstrings like, wait, that this needs to be fixed. Like, we need to do something. But I tell you, as soon as we hear something like this, a project like this, we immediately begin crunching numbers up here. We're like, I know how much I have. I see the numbers up there. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that $30 looks pretty okay. I think I can afford that. And we start doing it logically, of thinking, what can I do? When really, when it comes to generosity, we got to ask God, what am I supposed to do? And whatever we hear, we should do. Because God's promise is this, if we will do it, if we'll put the seeds, I will generously take care of you. So we're not giving up anything to be generous. We're just allowing God the opportunity to be generous to us as we listen and obey. We talk about Focus Church. We want to hear God's voice and we want to obey it and we want to shorten that distance in between, that we want to be quick about doing this. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to collect and we're going to do a digital giving opportunity. That in just a moment, we're all going to pray. And as we pray, we're going to ask God to put something in our mind as to what we're supposed to do. And then we're going to get on our phones and we're going to go to either the Church Center app or we're going to go to the website, givetofocus.org, and we're going to give. We're going to select the fund that says special giving. And everything given this weekend to the fund special giving is going to Project Rescue. It's going to make an impact. Here's what I know. God's plans are the best plans. And if we respond to what God wants to do through this family, lives are going to be impacted. Things are going to change. And we're going to get the chance to plant seeds today. And so, in preparation for our giving, go ahead and grab your phones right now. Because that's what we're going to use for this digital giving. And we're going to pray. And then we're going to give. So, God, thank you so much that we get the opportunity to practice generosity today, to ask you, what is it we're supposed to give? We see the need. We see this Project Rescue. We see the cause. We see the hurt. We see the pain. But we also see the solution. We see numbers up on a screen that can inspire us. But God, we don't want to do this logically. We don't want to do this with what we can figure out. We want to do what you want us to do, what we should do in response to your leading. So God, as we're holding our phones in our hands, as we're preparing to give digitally to Project Rescue, God, I pray that you would just put an idea in our hearts and our heads, a number, press upon us. That's what we're supposed to do. Speak to us now, God. And as we feel that prompting, may we be quick to obey, quick to follow through, to give that here today. We love you, God. Thank you, God, for taking care of us when we sow seeds of generosity. In Jesus' name, amen. And so with your phones right now, either using the Church Center app or going simply to the website, givetofocus.org, I encourage you to pull it up. Make sure you select special giving as the fund. Remember, everything going to special giving is going to go to Project Rescue. Here, I'm doing it right now as well. I can just picture in my head right now, Farmer Brad talking to his boy. How many seeds just got planted for Project Rescue today? Count that number. Awesome. As we close out this message, I want to invite you to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we spend a few moments talking to God. God, we've been challenged today of what it means to be generous, to go above our 10% and realize that generosity begins with 11%, with the extra. And God, I pray that we would be followers of you who would be sensitive to what you want us to do, that we would see a need and feel a need, that we would look to you, God, always looking for your prompting, looking for your direction, knowing, God, that you've given us a promise that if we plant generous seeds, you will generously provide for our needs. And so we thank you. Help us, God, as we take this journey together as followers of you, to be more generous. We indeed are grateful. We are thankful for all that you've done for us, how you've forgiven us, how you've set us free, how we've become a part of your family. And God, I pray that as we are grateful and as we are thankful, that we will also in turn be generous, just like you are generous. Help us, God, as we walk this journey together of generous giving. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that at the beginning of this message, we said that if you came today looking for hope, we said hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope here at the end, and here we are. God loves you very much. And yet there's nothing that we can do to be forgiven of all the wrong we've ever done. There's nothing we can do to earn our place in heaven one day. And yet God looked at you and he looked at me and he had such love for us. The Bible says that he sent his son Jesus, not to start a movement, not to start a religion, not to be a good person, not to be a teacher, but rather on a mission to pay with his life for our sins, not for his. And because he did that, we can be forgiven and we can be set free. We can become a part of God's family. We can spend eternity with God up in heaven. We can live life on this earth with mission and hope and purpose. We're not talking about an easy life of butterflies and rainbows. We're talking about a life with meaning, with hope. Indeed, hope is found in Jesus. You say, Pastor, how do I get this hope? What do I've got to do? Well, the Bible says that we've got to have a conversation with God. We call it prayer. And in this prayer, there's a few things we need to do. One, we got to actually recognize we're not worthy. We got to say, I'm sorry for our sin. Two, we got to believe that what Jesus did and how he gave up his life, that it was for us, that we claim that what he did was for me. We got to believe. And three, we got to decide to go all in. Say, God, I make you the boss of my life. I'm going to follow you. I give all of me to you. And with that prayer, we're forgiven. With that prayer, a new life begins as we begin following Jesus on this journey. It's not just a journey we do privately, but we do it publicly with other people who are following Jesus. And that's why the next step after we pray this prayer is to get water baptized, which we're looking forward to doing. Where people will go completely underwater to say, my old self is gone and the new me is coming up to show what's already happened in their heart when they've prayed this prayer. But the first step is having that conversation with God. And I want to help you with that prayer. So I'm going to pray it out loud in bite-sized pieces. And I'm going to encourage you to repeat it with me. Whether you're in this room or you're watching online, repeat this prayer with me to make the decision to make Jesus the leader of your life. But you're not going to be praying alone, because we're asking the entire Focus family to pray with us. No one prays alone here at Focus Church. And so, let's pray this prayer together now. Say, Dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you. With you in charge, give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.